And I want to thank Brother Barrow. It's just he and I again, like it was a couple of weeks ago, I believe. And so I want to thank him for getting out in this weather. So otherwise, it would just be me and my phone, and I don't know how that would turn out. So we're thankful for him being here tonight. We're going to get into the Word tonight. I feel like God has given me a Bible study for us. And so we'll begin our in-person, weather permitting, all that stuff. Around here, we say if the creek don't rise, and we really mean it here because we have a creek that floods behind us. But everything agreeing, we will start next Wednesday night with our midweek services. So that will be the B group, or if you're a guest, just come on out and be with us. Now, our next services are Sunday at 10 o'clock and Sunday at 1:30, and we look forward to seeing you there. And, of course, we're live streaming all of our services right now. So welcome. We're glad you joined us tonight. If you're just maybe tuning in, we want to tell you we are Turning Point Apostolic Church. We're in Ellettsville, Indiana, 210 West Vine Street. We'd love to have you show up and join us in person. Like I said, starting this next Wednesday, we'll be back here live. So we're thankful for that, in person, I should say. We're going to go to the Word tonight, but first we want to ask you to join us in prayer. We want to pray for anyone who's dealing with sickness in their bodies. We know God is a healer. Amen. And we want to pray for anyone who is dealing with any kind of discouragement. I want to pray for Brother G.B. Miller, who is right now recovering from knee surgery. He had a partial knee replacement, and I understand he's dealing with some pain. And so, Brother Miller, we want you to know we're praying for you tonight. We want to pray for the Harding family. As most of you know, Brother Paul Harding passed away last week. His service is Friday morning right here at the church, Turning Point, at 11 o'clock. There'll just be the funeral service. There's no visitation or anything like that. And so we're praying for the family there. I'd also like to ask you to join me in prayer for my wife. Would you say a special prayer for her tonight? She's been dealing with some knee issues for a while, and today she did something coming up the stairs there at the house and twisted that knee, and it popped, and she went down hard, and she was just in excruciating pain. And so I left her at home in the recliner, hopefully getting better, and we pray for her that God's going to just touch her and heal her knee. And as soon as I'm finished here, I'm going to go back home and be a nurse to my wonderful wife. But I'd ask you to pray for your first lady tonight. She needs your prayers, and I know you'll do that. Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you, God, for the privilege to be here in this sanctuary. I pray tonight, God, that you would touch each and every heart that tunes in, watches this, Lord, whether it be live or later. Let your word move in our lives, move in our hearts, stir us, change us, challenge us, I pray. God, I pray that you'd anoint me as I teach your word tonight to your great people. Give me the words to say. Pray, Lord, for all of those that are dealing with sickness or pain in their bodies. We know you're a healer. We claim healing right now in their bodies in Jesus' name. Touch my wife and heal her body. Touch Brother G.B. Miller. Touch him, Lord, and heal him. God, we pray for the Harding family. We ask you to encourage and strengthen them. We ask you, Lord, to touch all of those tonight that have physical needs, emotional needs, mental, spiritual. Lord, we know you paid the price for it all, and we thank you for that. And we ask it all in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. Amen. I'm going to take you to a scripture tonight in the book of Psalms 119, verse 11. The book of Psalms, chapter 119, verse 11. You'll pardon us one more time. We don't have the scriptures coming up on the screen. So you'll just have to either turn there in your Bibles or just listen to me read it. But this is a psalm where David says, "Thy word," speaking to the Lord, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." David describes here an action taken as a preparatory measure. In other words, he's given forethought. He's planned ahead. Realizing his own proclivities towards sin, he is acutely aware of the need for preventive measures. In 1 John, we see John write in chapter 1, verse 6. John says, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness." Now, last week we taught on light and darkness. Listen to John's words. If we say, the key word here is if we say, if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet we walk in darkness, he says we lie. We're telling a lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. This past Sunday, we preached about the blood of Jesus. Amen. Look at verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, think of this. John says, if you say, I have no sin, I've not sinned, I'm not a sinner. He says, we deceive ourselves. Self-deception. Not just denial, but deception. It's one thing to deny it and understand that you're lying. It's another thing that when you tell a lie so adamantly and so persistently that you begin to believe the lie, he says, then we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, we admit to it, we articulate the fact that, yes, I've sinned, yes, I'm a sinner. It's interesting to me that we don't preach about hell much anymore. When I say we, I mean religious organizations and churches. And we don't hear that preached about much anymore. We don't hear hell mentioned. We don't hear a lot about sin mentioned. It's almost like nobody sins and nobody's going to hell and everybody's going to heaven and everybody's resting in peace. And so, you know, why preach about hell if nobody's going to hell? The fact of the matter is the Bible says that there is a place called hell and that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, that's the bad news, but it has to be shared. Somebody has to bring to us the bad report that we're sinners. Because John says if we lie and we say, oh no, we're not sinners, then think of the repercussions of all of that. We say we're not sinners, then we don't need a Savior. If we don't need a Savior, we never turn to the Lord. If we never turn to the Lord, go on and on. We have no recourse, no salvation from our sins. We die, go to a devil's hell. That's just the fact of the matter. That's the Word of God. So watch this. He says, if we confess our sins, then he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Okay, so let's think about this. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So David was honest enough to acknowledge, I have a sin problem. I lean toward it. I need to take preventative measures so as not to succumb. The answer, David declares, is to hide his word in our hearts. That's the answer David declares to us, to hide his word in our hearts. He says, I know I'm a sinner. I know I have a sin problem. I know that that's what I lean to. And so the answer to that sin problem, in David's words, is to hide thy word in my heart. Now, let's talk about the concept of hiding, by the way. It's an interesting choice of words David uses. Hide thy word. I've hid thy word, he says. So let's talk about this hiding thing. David is not suggesting that we take a covert approach to God's word, that we secretly read it, secretly study it, and not at all. He's not saying that at all. What is he saying? Well, think of it this way. And the folks that are my age or older, you're going to relate to this example, but have you ever noticed that songs that you have not sang for years can sometimes just leap to the front of your mind? Or maybe someone's name, maybe you knew them as a child or a young person, you know, when you were younger, and you'll think their name will just come to your mind, or you might see them or see them on Facebook or whatever. I know their name. Think about that. I can remember songs that I sang as a child, hymns that I maybe haven't sang for years, but if something will make me think of the lyrics and Man, it comes right to the front of my mind. I can remember songs that I sang as a child, but I can't remember songs that we practiced 500 times 2 days ago. That's just the way it is. I can remember old hymns that just jump to my to the frontal lobes of my brain, and man, just come out my mouth, and I'll be singing it, and my wife, she'll just join in. We can remember those songs, but the songs that we learned a few weeks ago or 2 weeks ago or 2 days ago, and a lot of them are, you know, repetitious in their lyrics, and we can't even remember those few words. What is it about that? And I'll find myself saying things like, well, where did that come from? Where did that song come from? How did I remember that name? Where did that come from? I didn't even know that it was in my memory bank. What happened? It was hidden. It was hidden down deep in my, you think I'm going to say brain, but I'm going to say deep down in my heart. It was hidden there. It was placed in there so strongly that it got down in my heart. Think about that. Let that set in. Things can be hidden in our hearts. That's why the Bible says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The mouth speaketh. From what? The abundance of the heart. I didn't know that was in there. You ever said that? I didn't know that was in there. Something will just, you'll blurt something out without thinking. I didn't know that was in there. What happened? It was hidden in your heart. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So we must regularly examine our hearts. I can tell you what is in your heart by listening to you for a while. If I listen to you talk long enough, I can tell you what's in your heart. I can tell you what's in your heart by looking at your music playlist. I can tell you what's in your heart by looking at your checkbook. I can tell you what's in your heart by what manifests. Things that are hidden in the heart, we might hide it for a while, but after a while, it comes out. It all flows from what is hidden in our hearts. The writer says in Proverbs 4, verse 20, listen to these words, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them," think of that, "keep them in the midst of thine heart." Now think of this. He says, my words, listen to my words, incline your ear, lend me your ear. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of it, out of the heart, are the issues of life. Think of that issue meaning flowing from, issuing from. Keep your heart, watch over it, protect it. Inspect it, examine it, guard it. Keep your heart with all diligence. Why? Because whatever's in that, out of it are the issues of life. It will flow from your heart. So David said, I've figured some things out. I've hidden your word, Lord, down in my heart, because I know that what's in my heart is going to issue out of my heart into my members, into my brain, and out of my mouth, and whatever's hidden in my heart. So I'm going to guard my heart. I'm going to keep some things out, but I'm going to pull some things in. And when I get it in there, I'm going to guard it. I'm going to hide it down deep, deep in my heart. So David said, I've taken preventive measures. There's a term that maintenance people or maybe homeowners, car owners need to be familiar with. The term is called preventative maintenance. Preventative maintenance. There's another term that people are familiar with, especially now in this day, precautionary measures. David says, I've taken preventive measures, preventative maintenance I've done. Precautionary measures, David says, I've taken. Why? That I might not succumb to sin in my life. This year, I've developed some routines, some old, some new, but they've culminated into some habits. I've got some new habits this year. I'm taking some vitamins that I've not taken before. I'm taking some immunity boosters that I wasn't taking before. And I say this year, I mean in the past year. I've always tried to exercise, but I'm really trying to stick with it more adamantly this year. I'm trying to watch my diet. Hand washing has become more of a routine in my life. I've always tried to be careful about washing my hands. Sanitation, spraying things and wiping things, and that's become part of my routine. And even this new term, distancing and social distancing, that's become part of our lives. Some of us more than others, maybe, but I've done those things not out of fear, but I've done those things out of common sense caution. Now stay with me here, don't check out on me. This year I've developed some routines. Now, I'm not trying to be divisive, I'm not trying to be political here, but I've heard many, many people say things like, you know, I didn't really take this whole virus thing very seriously until I got sick. I've heard people say, I'm a believer now, Brother Hawkins. I wasn't really worried that much about it. I wasn't taking too many precautions, but now that I've got it, I know this thing's real. Or, God help us, we're losing loved ones, and we're seeing, when it gets up close, people that thought you were just being a little, you know, fearful when you see it up close. And again, I'm not trying to be divisive, but we were made to realize this really is serious. I've heard people say, I really didn't think about it. I didn't think anything about it. People coming in my house, going out of my house, letting, you know, the kids and the teenagers, everybody come in, then the sickness struck their house. People end up in the hospital. People end up almost on respirators and didn't know if they were going to live. And I've heard people say, Brother Hawkins, I wasn't thinking anything about it. And then, so my approach has been a little different. I could say hand sanitizer I have hidden in my pocket that I might not get sick, you know. So I made a calculated decision early on in this pandemic that I would not live in fear, but I would take precautions. I'm a heart attack survivor. I'm a heart bypass surgery survivor. I'm on medication and regimens to do my best to not only stay around and pastor the church a little longer, but I want to be a husband a little bit longer to my wife, and I want to be a father a little bit longer to my children. I'd like to be a grandfather to my grandkids, and I'd like to be a great-grandfather one of these days. And so I'd like to do this in a healthy manner. I'd like to be able to play with my grandkids as long as possible. So I take precautions to hopefully not have any more heart issues. I take those precautions. So I made a decision for myself how I would try and navigate this pandemic. I took the data and I made decisions for myself, for my home, and some of that, of course, as the pastor of the church, it played out in the things we took here at church, precautions. And it may not be the same you would make, but that's okay. It was and it is important to me. And here's my point. If that is important, taking care of my temporal body, how much more my soul? Man, I'm seeing people, they are freaking out over masks and they are panicking over social distancing, and you let them get too close to you in the grocery store, or you get too close to them rather, and they will tell you, you need to back off, you know. And that's all for the temporal body. And I'm not judging anybody for that, but I'm telling you, this temporal body, one of these days, no matter how long we try to stick around, let's face it, we're going to leave this world. If the Lord tarries, we're going to die. Or if the Lord doesn't, we're going to be raptured if we're ready. And so if I take care to to sanitize my hands so I don't get sick, or wash my hands, or keep my distance, or whatever, so that I don't get sick, or I take my heart medication and I exercise. I do all of these things to take care of my temporal body that's going to die anyway. How much more care should be given to my soul and its destiny, its eternal destiny? Some things we do so other things we won't. Think about that. Some things we do so other things we won't. That's what David was saying. Some things I do. I've hid your word in my heart so that some things I won't, so that I might not sin against thee. Some things I do, I wash my hands, so some things I won't, so I won't get sick. Some things I do, I try to watch my diet, so that some things I won't, hopefully I won't have another heart attack. I try to do what I can to control what I can and turn the rest over to the Lord. Ecclesiastes 10:1. Let me give you a few scriptures here and I'm almost finished. So I'm talking about we do some things as precautionary measures, preventative measures. And I've just used these examples tonight to try to tie into what David is saying about his soul, about his heart, about his life. Ecclesiastes 10:1 says, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary. The apothecary is the druggist, the guy or the place where it is done, where he makes the drugs or the concoctions or the ointments or whatever for the healing of the body. And the writer here says, dead flies in the ointment of the apothecary, in that salve or that oil or whatever, supposed to be used for healing. And he says, dead flies in that ointment send forth a stinking savor. In other words, a healing ointment that should even give forth a good smelling savor. Just a fly or two or three in that ointment, left in the ointment, begins to deteriorate, begins to putrefy. Before you know it, the contamination causes spoilage, and that which is supposed to be good turns sour. And what should put forth a good savor puts forth a stink. He says a stinking savor. What does? Just dead flies. Dead flies that you could have just taken a little spoon and dug them out, you know, when they first got in there, dug them out, maybe before they even die, just fetch them out, but left in there, they stink up the place. So, he says, so doth a little folly, him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. Now, my point here is some things we do, we take care of, we guard up, we maintain. Part of the daily list of an apothecary should be on his checklist, check ointment for flies. If there are flies in the ointment, I would tell my trainee, if I was training him to do his checklist, I'd say, if there's flies, I don't want you just to check it that you, I don't want you to make a little check mark that you checked it. I want to know if there are flies in the ointment, get something and get them out, because all of our hard work will be ruined. And he says that's the same way that just a little bit of folly, a little carelessness and ignorance. You know, you can get on Facebook and in 5 minutes destroy a reputation that you've spent years building, a little folly. You can get up in front of a group of people and say things in just a few seconds that will destroy your reputation. And that's what the writer is saying here. Just a little folly, him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. So what's he saying? He's saying you got to take some precautionary steps for your reputation. So we must for our soul. Proverbs 6, listen to this. Proverbs 6, verse 6, beginning. The writer says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. And here's what he says about the ant. Here's what you need to observe. Having no guide, having no overseer or no ruler, yet provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. In other words, the ant thinks ahead. The ant takes pre-planned action. The ant, something in that ant's brain says, you know, yeah, there's plenty of food right now, but there's a season coming, and I need to think ahead, I need to plan ahead, I need to take some precautionary measures here. I need to do some things that would prevent starvation in a few weeks, and so nobody's there to oversee it. There's no written policies. There's no guide, overseer, or ruler, but yet provides her meat in the summer, gathers her food in the harvest. Now, look what the writer says. Brings it home to us. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? What's being addressed here is just a lackadaisical spirit, just a carelessness, apathy. We just kind of procrastinate. We just put everything off. We don't think. I know people personally who give no thought to their spirituality, give no thought to their walk with God, give no thought to the Word of God until everything in their life is falling apart. And then, and please don't misunderstand me here. Call the preacher. Call somebody in the church. Fine. We'll pray for you. We'll do what we can. But the answer really is not to call the preacher. The answer is for you to make your calling, your election sure. The answer is for you to work out your own salvation today. Today is the day of salvation. And so rather than wait until everything's falling apart and you don't know what else to do, or there's problems in your home, problems in your family, problems on the job, problems with this, problems with your marriage, problems with that, and you're going to run to the Lord. We use the Lord, some of us, like a spare tire or some kind of a panic button. The church is just a place to run to when a tornado's coming into our life, and we use it as a tornado shelter. But that's not what the Word of God says for us to do. We need to think ahead. Just like the ant says, I know that one of these days all of this bounty may not be here. I need to lay up for my future. Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Not on earth, but in heaven. What's he saying? You need to think past today. Past right here and now. Come on, somebody. Somebody give me an amen on Facebook. How long are you going to sleep, O sluggard? He calls you a name. Now, if I called you that name, you'd empty the place out. I guess I could do it. Nobody's here anyway. Brother Barrow might walk out on me. But the writer of the Bible says, you're a sluggard. You're lazy. You're not even thinking about the future. So how long are you going to sleep? And when will you arise out of your sleep? Now, watch what he says. He says, yet a little sleep, just a little. Just another snooze, a little hit of the snooze button. Just another 7 minutes, 9 minutes, whatever your snooze button is. Just another. Just a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. He says, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth. He's using the analogy here of a thief, a vagrant. Traveling around, just stealing wherever he goes. So he says, your poverty will come, and thy want as an armed man. In other words, he's saying, it's surely to come. If you put it off, put it off, put it off. Think of that in spiritual terms. David said, I'm going to think ahead. I know my proclivities. I know my propensities. I know what I lean toward. I know in myself I am a sinful man. It's not in me to direct my own steps. So David said, I'm going to hide your word in my heart. I'm going to tell you, as a young man, the best thing I ever did was to memorize Scripture. I already told you, my brain doesn't work the way it did when I was younger. I have things that are in there that come out, from way back when I was young. You know why? I can't remember something I learned a couple weeks ago, a song, because my brain doesn't work the same way. So it's, thank God, as a young man, I hid that in my heart. So some of the best things I ever did was memorize Scripture. Because I go through things just like that song will jump to the front of my mind. There's Scripture sometimes that just leap to the front of my mind. Parents, one of the best things you can do for your children, not just bring them to church. That's important. Bring them, yes. But you yourself, teach them. Teach them the ways of God. Teach them the Word of God. Spend some time. Some of them, turn off their video games and, you know, turn off their phones and get in the Word and tell them. Say, hey, memorize this Scripture and whatever. I'll give you an ice. We'll go out for ice cream. Whatever you need to do. But get this Word hidden in their hearts, because when they get a little older, there are going to be times where they're not at church. They don't have access to the preacher. They don't have access to you. But the Word of God never leaves them. That's what the Bible means when it says, train up a child in the way he should go when he is old. He shall not depart from it. That means it never leaves him. It's there. It's in his heart. As David said, it's hidden. Hidden in my heart. Good stuff. So don't wait for your car to break down to change the oil. Don't wait till you get a flat tire to have your tires checked or rotated or whatever. Don't wait. Listen, it's going to get cold. This weekend, it's going to get real cold. I see I might have saw some minus double digits in the forecast. I'm not sure, but it's going to get cold. I know I saw a minus sign. So this weekend, it's going to get cold. So what you're going to do? You're going to wait till your pipes freeze up, burst, and you got water running all through your house, or you're going to maybe leave a little trickle of water running. Maybe open the cabinets under your sinks. Maybe put some heat on some things that normally you don't have heat flowing to. Don't wait to winterize your house, and don't wait until it's minus 10 degrees to make sure you got enough antifreeze in your car. This is all free tonight, folks. I'm giving you free advice here. Some of you just said, oh, yeah, I need to check that. You know, if you're a homeowner, don't wait till your gutters fall down to clean the leaves out of them and it gets all blocked up with ice. Clean your gutters out. Let some water run this weekend. Bring your pets in. You got dogs outside, cats outside. You better think about that. All you animal lovers, all you animal owners, but if it gets down to minus 20, they're not going to like you very well if you just leave them outside. So you got to think about that. What am I saying? What I'm really saying is don't use the church and don't use the Lord as your backup plan. Just like you're not going to wait until your car falls apart and then take it to the mechanic. How embarrassing to take your car to the mechanic and him say, well, what happened? Oh, I just didn't have any antifreeze in it. Well, didn't you know it was going to be minus 20 degrees, right? You don't want to face the mechanic. Because he'd give you a lecture. We pastors don't have the luxury sometimes of giving the lecture, but we want to sometimes. Didn't you know? Didn't you know? Didn't you know? If you don't pray, things fall apart. Didn't you know? If you don't bring your kids to church, they might grow up. And didn't you know? Didn't you know? If you don't come to church, you're not going to stay fired up for the Lord. Didn't you know? If you don't bring your marriage and your wife and your husband to church, that the devil can get in there. Didn't you know? We want to say these things sometimes. We just can't say them. I just say them on live stream to you. Amen. So here's the point. Precautionary measures, preventive maintenance. We do these things so that other things don't fall apart. Job didn't wait until he was stricken with boils and had lost his living and his family to start worshiping God. He was a worshiper in chapter 1, verse 1 of his book. He said things like, peradventure, or just in case something would happen, I'm going to do this now. Go read it. Amen. Job made it through his crisis because of everything he did before the crisis. So, this word is important. So here we are, back on, ready to get back in the house of the Lord on Wednesday nights. Now I want to make an appeal to some of y'all. I have to say this every few weeks. If you're going to Walmart, and you're going to work, and you're going to school, and you're going every place but church, I want to repeat to you, this environment that we've created here during this pandemic, You've already heard all the regimens I'm taking right now. I'm taking this serious. So you're going to come in here. We're going to tell you where to sit. We're going to keep you spaced out. You got a face covering on. We got hand sanitizer. You can't take 3 steps hardly without somebody offering you some hand sanitizer. We're spraying down these chairs so many times before and after you get here. I don't even know if they're the same color anymore. Amen. We're watching our air filtration system. We're doing all of these things. All of these things. We're dismissing by section so that we don't have a mad dash for the door. Nobody's going to shake your hand. Nobody's going to hug your neck. I was watching a live stream just this week. I'm trying not to, folks, but I'm telling you. So I watched a live stream, somebody walking up the middle aisle, kissing everybody on their way up during a pandemic. Give me a break. Come on. So that's not going to happen here. I'm sorry. I'm trying not to do this. I really am. We'll have to edit this out maybe. Nope, this is live. Oh, boy. We may have to not let this one stay on the archives. But I'm just telling you, this is safer than Walmart. This is safer than Cracker Barrel. This is safer than school. This is safer than your job. We're making it safe. So it's time. Some of you, I know if you got health issues, I know, use your own judgment. But some of you don't. You're just kind of hesitant. Get on back to church. Because what we're doing here, and especially on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings, we are looking at the Word, preaching the Word, teaching the Word. This is where you get it. And we need the Word of God more than we've ever needed it before. So it's time to come on back home. Amen. Some of you are getting vaccinated. That's good. Get your vaccines. And when you get your vaccines, I've already had some people tell me, I'm going to get my second one, such and such. A couple weeks later, I'm going to be back at church. Thank God for that. I'm with you. Amen. I want to see you back in the house of the Lord. All right. I love you. I hope I didn't make too many of you upset tonight or mad. But this is the Word of God. We need the Word. We need the house of the Lord. Amen. So we got knocked out by the weather tonight, but we're going to get back on our horse next Wednesday night, and we're going to see Group B next Wednesday night. Remember, Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, Sunday afternoon at 1:30. We love you all. Thanks for tuning in tonight. And if you're on Facebook, why don't somebody say, hey, thank you, Brother Barrow, for being here tonight. He needs that every once in a while because he deserves it. Amen. Thank you, Brother Barrow, from me. God bless you. We'll see you next time.